To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Pool of Bethesda, as we pick up in John chapter 5, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn now in our Bibles to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John? John has just recorded in the fourth chapter the ministry of Jesus in the Galilee when he was at the city of Cana and the nobleman came to him concerning his son who was sick, and Jesus spoke the word, and some 20 miles distance the Spirit of God did a work and healed the nobleman's son. So after this, that would be after his ministry there in Cana and the healing of the nobleman's son, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had been a long time in this case, he said unto him, Would you like to be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to get in, another steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. So, John is now giving us another little scene in the ministry of Jesus. We remember that the Gospel of John is selected pictures. In the 19th chapter of John, he tells us that Jesus did many other things which are not recorded. But these were recorded, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing, have life in his name. So John is telling you that he's just selecting certain things out of the life and the ministry of Jesus to demonstrate to you the fact that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that by your believing in him, you might have life in his name. When John closed his epistle, he said, there are so many things that could be written about Jesus, that I suppose if someone tried to write them all of the libraries in the world could not hold all that could be written about him. Well, surely we are proving that today with the multitudes of books that are being published concerning the Bible and concerning Jesus, and yet we have not nearly exhausted all that could or perhaps should be said. This is another little insight. The Pool of Bethesda. Inside it said of the sheep gate. Today, It lies inside of what is known as the Lion's Gate. The Sheep Gate no longer exists in the walls of the city of Jerusalem. But inside the Lion's Gate, in their excavations, they have found the Pool of Bethesda with the five porches where Jesus ministered to this lame man. There were many people around there, blind, lame, and all. For a tradition had been developed about the pool that whenever the waters began to move, whoever was the first one into the water would be healed of whatever disease they had. So all of these people who were lame, blind, maimed, or whatever, would lie around this pool just waiting for the water to be troubled. Can you imagine what a pitiful sight that must have been? To see this pool of water with the five porches and all of these grotesque creatures lying around it, just waiting for the water to be troubled, and then the mad scramble. And the blind person, of course, was disadvantaged because he could only hear the rustling of people and then realize what must be going on and try and get in. And everyone trying to get in first, and the first one in was healed of whatever disease he had. You say, well, how can you explain that? That the first one in could be healed? We know that there is tremendous power in faith. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How many times Jesus said to people, thy faith has made you whole. Faith is a tremendous power. It can activate the work of God in your behalf. And people oftentimes need a point of contact for releasing their faith. Many times, faith is rather passive. Our faith in God is often passive. It should not be. I'm not advocating this. I'm just making a statement of fact. But passive faith really doesn't do much. I believe that God can. I believe that God created the universe, so I know that God can do anything. I have the passive faith to believe that God could replace an amputated arm. I say the passive faith to believe that because I don't have the active faith to believe that. You say, well, do you believe that God created the world? Sure. Do you believe God can do anything? Sure. Then if God can do anything, sure, he could put a new arm upon a person who had his arm amputated. I believe he can. I don't believe he will. You see, that's the difference between the passive faith and an active faith. An active faith believes he will. Now, many times we need some kind of a place, a point, a experience where we turn our faith from a passive faith, which does little, to an active faith that will accomplish a lot. And oftentimes a point of contact is extremely valuable. Now, with these people, a point of contact had been developed to where, whenever the water became troubled, they believed that the first one into the water would be healed of whatever disease or malady they had. And because they believed this to be so, the first one into the water, his faith was immediately activated, and he believed, God is going to heal me. And because he believed that God was going to heal him, he was healed. His faith became active, much as the woman who in her heart said, I know the moment
I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole of this plague. And so she made her way through the crowd until she got close enough to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And the moment she did, she released her faith. It became active, and God's power ministered to her as the virtue went out from Jesus, because God responds to our faith. Your faith can be a hindrance or a blessing. What I believe is very important. If I believe that God can't or won't do a certain thing, then it usually follows that God doesn't. If I believe that God will do a certain thing, then it usually follows that God does. When I was a child, unfortunately, there was a lot of negative preaching. And many people became victims of the negative preaching. I heard many sermons against a lot of things. And one of the favorite subjects of attack by those ministers was smoking cigarettes. And I've heard over and over as a child that if you smoke a cigarette, God will not, you cannot be a Christian, you cannot be a child of God and smoke a cigarette. And I heard this. Now, there were many who of my companions who also heard this teaching and this preaching, and they believed what they heard. So that when they began to experiment and smoke cigarettes, they believed, well, God can't save me. I'm a sinner because I smoke a cigarette, and I can't be saved as long as I smoke this cigarette. And because they believed that they could not be saved smoking a cigarette, it became true. They could not be saved. They could not believe God to save them while they were bound by a cigarette habit. Because what you believe becomes the reality in that case. And unfortunately, many people have been destroyed through negative preaching. I had a man in Tucson who said, Chuck, I would like to be a Christian. I would like to come to church. I would like to live for the Lord. I used to be the youth director in our church when I was growing up. And I was serving the Lord, and I was happy and all. And I would like to do it now, but my job gives me a lot of stress. And when I get home in the evening after a stressful day on the job, I love to sit down and just relax and have a can of beer. And so I can't be saved. I said, Eddie, who told you that you can't have a can of beer? I said, that isn't the issue. Just to shock him, I said, I drink all the beer I want. I don't want to drink any. But many people are kept away from God because they have become entangled into habits or into patterns that they can't break. They've tried to break them. They've been told that as long as they're doing that, they can't be a child of God. And so they've tried to quit smoking. But they can't quit smoking. And so they think, oh, God, I wish I could be saved. Oh, I wish I could be a child of God. And they long and desire to be, but they're bound. They can't quit smoking. What they're trying to do is get the cart before the horse. You give your life to Jesus Christ, and he'll take care of those things in your life as the Spirit of God conforms you into the image of Jesus Christ. We so often, in our endeavor to be righteous before God, are trying to work from the outside in, but that is always a difficult, if not impossible, project. The Spirit of God works from the inside out. He brings to pass those changes within me which have their expression on the outside. So our faith, what I believe to be, becomes a reality in my life. But there is that possibility of activating faith. And oftentimes the point of contact is valuable in doing that. If there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Now, as the elders come and anoint with oil and lay hands in the name of Jesus and pray for that person, it gives the point of contact to release the faith. I know as soon as the elders get here and anoint me with oil and pray for me in the name of the Lord, I'm going to be healed. Oh, bless God. I can hardly wait for them to come. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and as the doorbell rings, oh, they're here. Bless God. I'm going to be healed now in just a few moments. The moment they lay their hands on me and anoint me with oil in the name of the Lord. And because I believe the promise of God and I believe the word of God, the moment they lay their hands on me in the name of Jesus and pray for me, I'm healed. Why? Because I've now triggered or activated the faith. It is no longer God can heal me, but God is healing me now at this moment. And it is that activating of faith. So these people sat around the pool waiting for the waters to be troubled, because it created a point of contact for their releasing their faith for that work that God was wanting to do in their lives. But this man had been lame for 38 years, and he had been lying around here for a long time. But he was so crippled that whenever the waters began to stir, by the time he could get his body into the water, someone else had already gotten there in front of him. And thus he remained in his crippled condition, hoping and waiting that someday he might be the first one in. And as his case was, he didn't have any friend to help him. You know, those that were just there beside him and holding him, and as soon as the waters troubled, toss him in. So he was there in that helpless state. And Jesus said, "Would you like to be healed?" And he brought up his problem to Jesus. "Of course I would like to be healed. But there's no one to help me. When the waters are troubled, someone always gets there in front of me." And then Jesus commanded him to do the impossible. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." I love the way Jesus is always giving to people impossible commands. Because whenever the Lord gives you an impossible command, then you are faced with one of two choices. The first choice is you can obey the command that Jesus gave you, or you can argue with the command. Now, this man could have said, "Who are you trying to kid, mister? I told you, I don't have anybody to help me. The waters aren't troubled now. You think that if I could carry my bed away from here, I'd be lying here all this time? I've been 38 years like this, man. There's no way I can stand up." And he could have argued with the command of Jesus and remained impotent. But he made a wise choice. He chose to obey the command of Christ. And we read, "And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked." He chose to obey the command of Christ, though he knew it was an impossible command. Now, many times the Lord gives to us commands that to us seem like impossible commands. Maybe there's an area of weakness in our life that we have struggled with for years. It has kept us in a defeated state. And the Lord says, "All right, now don't do that again." And we say, "Oh, Lord, you don't know how I'd like to quit. Oh, you don't know how miserable I am when I do this. I don't get any joy out of it." And we argue with Jesus. And we tell him all the times we've tried. We told him all of the programs that we've been on, all of the books we've read, all of the money we've spent trying to change our behavioral patterns. And I'm still the same. And we're arguing with him. rather than willing to obey. Now, one thing we must learn, and that is, though Jesus gives to us what seems to be an impossible command, that Jesus never commands us to do anything, but if we will but will to do it, he will in that moment give to us all of the capacity, all of the power, and all of the ability to do it. Don't argue with him. Just say, yes, sir, and do it. Because if you will to obey the command of Christ, immediately you will receive all that is necessary to obey that command. So many times we look and we say, but that's impossible, Lord. Not anymore, because he told me to do it. And by virtue of the fact that he told me to do it, he will give me the capacity to do it. And so this man was made whole. He took up his bed and walked, but they weren't looking at the calendar. The same day was the Sabbath. And he didn't get very far until some of these black-robed men with black hats and long curls said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. It's interesting to me, the traditions that man can acquire. But really, what amazes me most is how deeply ingrained tradition can become in a person's life.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of John on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning John 5. There you'll also find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. For those of you who wish to call, our number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord watch over you as you go. May his hand be upon your life for good. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and fill you with his Holy Spirit, that you might walk in his love, that you might be an instrument through which he works his work of love in a world that is filled with hate and suspicion. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, A Memoir of Grace, is a beautifully illustrated recount of Pastor Chuck's life. So I am pleased to invite you to pull up a chair and listen as Pastor Chuck tells the story of his life. This book is presented to you with the prayer that what you read will help you see how God's grace is at work in your own life. Everything you have experienced in the past, everything you're going through now, and everything that awaits you on the path ahead is all part of God's plan. His will for you is perfect, and he knows just how to prepare you for your life's purpose. Everything is preparation for something else. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.